Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I'm not going to be going through verse by verse like I normally do because it's quite a long text, and I'm not going to preach an hour. I can promise you that anyway. Well, no, I can't. I can anyway. All right. But anyway, this text is loaded. And I think you noticed that when Pastor Perry was reading it, and it definitely points to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to cover things that really struck me in the text. And I like the way that the Message, Eugene Peterson in the Message, paraphrases it. Okay, it's very powerful. So we look at verse 1 to start. He says, "Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free. Our salvation is a free gift of God in Jesus Christ." Matthew Henry writes regarding this text, "What is the qualification required in those that shall be welcome? They must thirst." That's not too much, is it? Okay? Pretty low bar there, right? "All shall be welcome to gospel grace upon those terms, only that gospel grace be welcome to them. Those that are satisfied with the world and its enjoyments for a portion, and seek not for happiness in the favor of God, those that depend upon the merit of their own works for a righteousness and see no need they have of Christ and His righteousness, these do not thirst." Isn't there a lot of people who don't thirst nowadays? "They have no sense of their need, are in no pain or uneasiness about their souls, and therefore will not condescend so far as to be beholden to Christ." And isn't that what the world looks at us like? We've condescended, we've gone down by accepting Jesus Christ? "But those that thirst are invited to the waters, as those that labor and are heavy laden are invited to Christ for rest. Note, where God gives grace, He first gives a thirsting after it. And where He has given a thirsting after it, He will give it. Come to Christ, for He is the fountain open, He is the rock smitten." So the Lord even provides the thirst for us through His Holy Spirit. So come to Jesus. Scriptures, John chapter 4. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And then in Revelation, the risen Christ says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." So who wants eternal life here? Very good. All right. Kenny, get your hand up. All right. Your sister, too. Get your hand up. All right. I did it yesterday in the jail, and at the Spanish service, only two guys raised their hand, and I go, "What's this?" Everybody wants eternal life, right? Okay. As you know, I like action-adventure movies, and I love the Indiana Jones movies, and my favorite is The Last Crusade. You guys remember that movie? And one of my favorite scenes is when they're getting the chalice of Christ, the cup of Christ, and there's this knight who's centuries old. He's sitting there watching, and the bad guy grabs this chalice that he thinks is the cup of Christ and fills it full of water. And there's just a ton of cups in the room, okay? And if you pick the wrong cup and you drink from it, bad things happen, okay? But if you drink the cup of Christ in the movie, you get eternal life, all right? But we know that that's not what God's talking about when, you know, we have that relationship with Christ. That's for those of us who are thirsty. But anyway, the bad guy gets it, and he drinks the cup, and it's the wrong cup. And he's holding on to this girl, and he just starts shaking, and he turns to dust, and he screams. And he just turns to a skeleton and he falls to pieces, all right? You remember that? And what I loved about the movie is the knight's just sitting there and he says, "He chose poorly." Well, today, Don't choose poorly, all right? If you're thirsty, come, all right? Verse 2, why do you spend your money on junk food? I love this. Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy. Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. And you know when you go to the fair and you get cotton candy? Sure, it tastes good, but it melts in your mouth, right? Is it really going to satisfy your appetite? No. It makes you all sticky, and it melts, and it's gone really quick, all right? What's that? You're gone with your money, yeah. So are we settling for cotton candy in life? And if we are, then why are we? Once again, Matthew Henry writes, all the wealth and pleasure in the world will not make one's meals meat for a soul. It's not going to satisfy. Eternal truth and eternal good are the only food for a rational and immortal soul, the life of which consists in reconciliation and conformity to God and in union and communion with Him, which the things of this world will not at all befriend. They satisfy not. They yield not any solid comfort and content to the soul, nor enable it to say, now I have what I would have. Nay, they do not satisfy even the appetites of the body. And listen to this, the more men have, the more they would have. And isn't that the truth? If we're basing our life on anything other than Jesus Christ, are we ever going to be satisfied? No. Solomon, the wisest king in Israel, and people think one of the wisest men in the world, writes, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place of the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. This is Solomon. He was the richest man in the world. He had like 365 wives, not counting concubines, all right? He had all... Maybe that's why life was meaningless to him. No. Well, I shouldn't say that. This is going out live, all right? But anyway, he had everything. Anything he wanted, he had, right? And he came to the conclusion that life is meaningless. The only thing that counts is our relationship with God. 1 John, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So God offers us so much more than this cotton candy that we settle for. And it's free. So why aren't people lined up? I just don't get it, all right? Matthew Henry writes that he who offers them has no need of us. So God has no need of us. Nor of any returns can we make him. And that's as opposed to the world, wherever you do something, something's expected, right? If you receive something, something's expected in return. God's not like that, all right? He makes us these proposals not because he has occasion to sell, but because he has the disposition to give. That the things offered are already bought and paid for. Christ purchased them all at the full value, with price, not with money, but with his own blood. So it's free to us, but it costs Jesus' blood, right? And 1 Peter affirms this. He says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So, eat only the best and fill yourself only with the finest. And that would be Jesus Christ, right? We're going to be doing 40 days on the Word with Pastor Rick Warren coming up after we're done with Isaiah. Pastor Perry and I decided we want to finish Isaiah first. Because isn't this a great book? It's amazing. You know, I've read it many times before, but it just like hit me like a ton of bricks now, okay? But he says that on the average, Americans watch 4 hours of TV a day. and that's not counting video games. 4 hours a day, all right? Now, brothers and sisters, imagine if Christians, just Christians, read their Bibles for 1 hour a day. What would happen? The world would be changed. The United States would be changed. We complain about the direction our country's going in. If everybody took an hour a day, and if you're watching 4 hours of TV, watch three and read the Bible an hour, it would change our country. It would change this world. And would it change us? Absolutely, right? Don't choose poorly, all right? Verse 3, pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love. And what I like is those words, sure, solid, enduring love, because that describes the hesed, the love of God. And you can't just describe it in one word, okay? His love is sure, it's solid, and it's enduring. It goes on no matter what, all right? We find out from this that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Matthew Henry says, Jesus Christ is promised for making good of all the other promises which we are here invited to accept of. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Every promise God has made is answered in the person of Jesus Christ. You go through your Bible, the answer is Jesus, you know. And the kids get it at Kid Talk. You know, usually if they've been coming to Kid Talk for a while, whenever you ask for an answer, it doesn't matter what the answer is. They'll say Jesus, and they'll figure that's the right answer, okay? And they're usually right 9 out of 10 times, okay? But 10 out of 10 times, Jesus is the answer. He's the promise of God fulfilled. Everything is fulfilled in this person. Wow. What's the answer? Jesus. It's that simple. So in Jesus we have God's sure, solid, enduring love, His hesed. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Is there such thing as a Christian without love? No. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves us, and I didn't put this in, but Jesus loves us perfectly, and He is perfectly faithful. Think of that. Jesus loves us perfectly. I've been married to my wife for 37 years. Has she loved me perfectly? No. Have I loved her perfectly? No. All right? You're not going to find it here. All right? The only one who can love us perfectly is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit puts that thirst in our hearts for Him. Verse 6 and 7. Seek God while He's here to be found. Pray to Him while He's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. He doesn't just have a little bit of forgiveness like me, okay? He's lavish in His forgiveness, all right? Once again, Matthew Henry writes, it is implied that now God is near and will be found, so that it shall not be in vain to seek Him and to call upon Him. Now His patience is waiting on us. His Word is calling to us. His Spirit is striving with us. Even now, as you're listening to me right now, the Holy Spirit's shaking you and going, listen, 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 okay? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer, okay? Let us now improve our advantages and opportunities, for now is the accepted time. But there is a day coming when He will be afar off, and will not be found. When the day of his patience is over, and his spirit will strive no more. Isn't that frightening to think that there's going to be a time when the Holy Spirit will just say, too late? There may come such a time in this life when the heart is incurably hardened. It is certain that at death and judgment, the door will be shut. So when we die, it's over, all right? There's not another chance to accept God's grace, all right? Mercy is now offered, and this is frightening, but then judgment without mercy will take place. So the Lord has given us so much time to accept Him, right? So far, He's given me 58 years, okay? But there's people who are given this time. And now, this day is the accepted time. Now's the time to say, yes, Jesus, okay? Because if we die without Jesus, that's not where we want to be. So choose wisely. Now is the appointed time. And when you see this, do you see why there was such an urgency in the early church? People weren't living as long as we live now, okay? And they wanted everybody to go to heaven, right? And they knew that if they preached the gospel to a Corinthian today, and that Corinthian died that night without Jesus Christ, they'd go to hell. And the people were terrified. They didn't want anybody to go to hell. And we all wanted eternal life, right? How many people here want everybody else to have eternal life? Right. They got it in the early church. But somehow we've gone to sleep in our church. Not necessarily just here, but I mean the greater church. Okay? Verse 8 and 9. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's isn't that the truth? God's decree. For as the skies soar high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. My dad was a master sergeant in the Marine Corps during World War II, all right? And there was a time when he was a DI, which is a drill instructor, but I remember whenever I wasn't doing what he desired me to do, he'd say, Rick, get with the program, all right? And then later on in life when I was playing football, all right, if you made a mistake on the field, we had a coach from Georgia when I was in high school. He'd say, Bazanson, you donkey, get with the program. Coach Red Davis, he had red hair, okay? But he played at Georgia Tech, all right? But anyway, aren't there times we want God to get with our program? We say, God, get with our program, huh? Just this one time, go with the program, right? Thanks be to God. He doesn't go along with our program, right? Because what happens when he goes along with our program? We're in deep trouble, right? Okay? Because generally, our programs stink, right? But we don't realize it until later. Verse 11, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. God's word is powerful and effective, and it changes everything. It changes everything. And Pastor, don't you take comfort in these verses? Because even if people aren't listening, or if we're not being right on with our preaching, we can trust that His word goes out and that seeds are being planted. And it's not because we're brilliant preachers, although we are brilliant preachers. No, it's because of His Word, okay? It's because of His Word. And I'll never forget when I quit drinking 27 years ago, I'd read the Bible. And even today, you'll read a verse and it just hits you like a ton of bricks. You know? And that's happening every time somebody preaches. Matthew Henry writes, this assures us that the promise of God shall all have their full accomplishment in due time, and not one iota or tittle of them shall fail. These promises of mercy and grace shall have as real an effect upon the souls of believers for their sanctification and comfort as ever the rain had upon the earth to make it fruitful. This is written in the 17th century, okay? But Matthew Henry understood it. The Word is going to change you. It's going to make you holy. It's going to make you more like Jesus. Evidence for this. Whose lives here have been changed by the Word of God? Alrighty? I said that in jail yesterday, and at one service we only had three guys, and only one guy raised his hand. The other two are unbelievers right now. But I think I got another 3 months with them, so we'll see what happens. But just think of it. The Bible's just not a book. And that's what we have people telling us nowadays, right? It's just a book. It's the living Word of God that'll shake you to your core and change you. That's why it's outlawed in a lot of nations. You try handing out Bibles or New Testament tracts in Saudi Arabia today and see what'll happen, all right? They know. Believers don't, but they do, okay? Verse 12. So you'll go out and I love this. Pastor Perry, you should preach on this verse. I should have given you this verse. This is such a Pastor Perry verse, isn't it? Do I hear an amen? Amen, okay. So you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. And I love the way he put that. You'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. And isn't that what everybody is looking for? They want a whole and complete life, right? And they look at cotton candy and all this other garbage to try to get it. And the answer is Jesus, right? The mountains and the hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. And since Christ has come, just think of it, the whole creation rejoices. When He rose from the dead, the rocks were screaming out, the trees were applauding, all right? But we're so spiritually dead, we didn't hear it, all right? And it's still happening today. The whole creation sings praise to Jesus Christ, right? And when we believe, we enter the kingdom of God, then we can see it, all right? We can see that the creation has given praise to Jesus, right? And we may even see angels. Yeah, my two angel seers up here, okay? And I pray that one day I'll see angels, okay? I'm feeling them now, okay? So getting close, all right? I'm not completely whacked like you, Sandy, but I'm getting there, all right? This verse refers to the restoration of the captives from Babylon, but also our salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And as I was reflecting on this text, it came to me, if we look at what we were without Jesus, then there is no comparison to the joy we have now in Him. Amen? Do you still remember the time when you didn't have Jesus? I do. You remember the emptiness? The pain? The emptiness so empty that you feel pain. Martin Luther writes, "The meadows laughed, that is, they were very happy, as in springtime, all things are cheerful to our feelings. So this new exodus will be most agreeable." I love this. "The whole world, sun and moon, will have a different appearance for us. You will look at everything in faith and in the Word most joyfully and for life. Formerly in the law, we saw nothing cheerful because of a terrified conscience. When the heart is cheerful, everything looks happy, even the cross and persecution. Thus, all the godly regard all things as happy and inner peace and happiness and rejoicing in the Spirit. Here you see that all Christians are joyful because peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and so is joy." When we discover Jesus, right, it puts a smile on our face, right? And have you ever been so full of the joy of the Holy Spirit that even the worst circumstances could not shake you? Yes. All right. Isn't that the coolest thing? In the example, I visited Bruce Berkshire, and as you know, he's the HVAC guy that fell 15 feet and broke both of his legs and his back. He's had like 3 surgeries on his legs, and those are fine now. He had back surgery this week. I've never seen anybody who's encountered so much pain have so much peace. You can see Bruce today. I was talking with Greg and Siri. There's a glow about him. He's changed. He's no longer the same, all right? Okay, finally, Billy Sunday, famous preacher a long time ago, said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity, all right? So is there a leak in your Christianity, all right? Let's hope not, okay? Christians should be the happiest people around, all right? And what's the lie that Satan puts out? He says if you become a Christian, life's going to be no fun, right? And isn't that a lie straight out of hell? Christians have more fun than anybody, all right? Yeah, look at me and Pastor Perry, okay? Even we have fun together, okay? And that's two really different kind of people, all right? But anyway, so what's the answer? Jesus. And Pastor, will you lead us in prayer,
sure,
please?
Lord, we do thank you for the joy we have. Thank you for not letting us live the rest of our lives like we did before in religion or in the world. Neither one offers anything like what you offer. Dead religion sure doesn't. And the deadness of this world and the pleasure of this world certainly don't either. But Lord, you and your presence and your spirit brings life. Thank you, Lord, that you say to us right now and in your word, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And you call us to come to you anew and afresh right now. You tell us, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Lord, thank you that you give us bread that satisfies, that you satisfy our spiritual thirst, you slake our thirst, not with some worldly drink, certainly not with alcohol or any spirits of that kind, but with the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, today, of all days, to drink more from you and less from the world, from the trough of the world. When people are getting drunk today, let us be drunk in the Spirit and shine with your light and be a witness to you. Help us not to be conformed to the world that offers the junk food of cotton candy and the garbage of this world. But Lord, help us to feed from you of the richest affair. There's no one like you, Jesus. Absolutely no one, no thing on this earth that comes even close to you. Help us to realize that and not be afraid of showing our emotions of joy and peace and love, because it's you. And when you come in, everything is different. The sun and the moon and stars do look different, because we now know you made them, and you made them, but you made us. The sunrise this morning looks different because of you. It's a new day, a new life, a new hope because of you. So Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to always remember it, especially when we're alone, we're not feeling well, when things hit us and attack us, and our emotions and circumstances would shout at us that there's no God, certainly no God for us, that we're beyond hope. But Lord, we thank you that you do not give up on us. Lord, I pray that today you would get the honor and praise and glory. That's your day. That this is a super day, because you're a super God above measure.
Si, Señor.
Fill us with you, not with the world. Thank you for your working now, Lord. That you're working now. You're speaking now. That you're healing now. That you're hearing now. You are the God of the now. We look forward with excited anticipation of what you're going to do in this new week with our new lives refreshed in you. Praise you, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Every breath we take is a gift from you. Every day is a gift of new life and new opportunities, Lord. Help us to open up our eyes to see what you're doing and to have that joy, have that explosive joy, like the trees of the field will clap their hands, sing for joy, a new song, new hope, new life, because you make everything new. We thank you in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.